Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Friday, February 2nd, just over a week away from the Super Bowl, and I'm actually not really going to talk about that game unto itself. We'll save that for next week's podcast. I'll actually be podcasting live. Well, I'm always podcasting live, but I will be in Las Vegas. I'm alive while I'm doing this. Spoiler alert. I'll be in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl week. I'll be doing stuff Radio Row, doing some TV stuff, but I'll also record some podcasts from out there. We'll get you set up on all the fronts, especially on the betting front, because I know that's what we want to do. But today's podcast, two things that I want to do. First and foremost, I want to do a little postmortem on the Baltimore Ravens and Detroit Lions. Two teams that were very good this season and have a lot of pieces set up for next year as well, though. With the Baltimore Ravens, a little bit of change there, just a little bit. I mean, the important thing for us is Todd Monken's not going anywhere, but Mike McDonald is out already as the DC. He had a quick rise there, and of course, he'll be the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. And in a lot of ways, that leads me into the second topic. I want to talk about all of the head coaching hires and what they mean for us. So we'll dive into that on the podcast today. In the meantime, before we get to that, FTNFantasy.com. Of course, remember, you can follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. So let's lead then with a postmortem on the Detroit Lions, a team that I said coming into the season was going to be a very exciting team, and I was not wrong. I'm wrong on a lot of things. That was fortunately not one of them. They were a very exciting team to watch, very fun, and very lucrative for fantasy purposes if you had the right pieces. If you had Amon-Ra St. Brown, he had 9 100-yard performances in the regular season. He was an absolute target monster. If you had Sam Laporta, well, that was even better because you paid peanuts for him in drafts. He was either a late-round tight end or not drafted at all. And I want to be clear about this. Late-round tight ends, they don't hit very often. They don't. It's the nature of the beast. It's the nature of the position. But if you happen to nail one, or you draft a late-round tight end, that guy doesn't hit, you drop said late-round tight end for a guy like Laporta, oh, man. The value cost that you spent on him is so minimal that it's such a positive impact on your roster. And he's not going anywhere. He's now already in that elite conversation, like top-shelf tight end conversation with Kelsey, who's not going anywhere as far as I'm concerned, with Mark Andrews. Ordinarily, I would say TJ Hockenson, but this dude didn't even go under the knife until like a week ago. So the start of the season is definitely in question for TJ Hockenson. But love Laporta. Absolutely love what we saw to the rookie, and he's not going anywhere. Now, the question I have before I get to the backfield, we saw Jameson Williams explode in that conference championship game. He scored 2 touchdowns, 1 as a runner, 1 as a receiver. We know how explosive he can be. We know how effective he was at Alabama. But none of that has really come to fruition yet. And let's be clear, first season, he was banged up coming off the ACL. So really only ramped up first season. Second season, well, that was sort of clouded as well because at the beginning of the year, he was suspended for that sports betting violation. So we've yet to see him in a full season. We did see his work ramp up. But here's my question about Jameson Williams. And I get the sense that he's going to be one of those it guys. He's going to be one of the, ooh, nice pick, bro, type of players on draft day. Like, oh, I hate you. You snipe me. That type of player. It's funny that every league does the same thing. But does he warrant such consideration? And I don't know the answer is yes. And here's my reason why. The number one target in this offense is going to be Amon-Ra St. Brown. Okay, given. The number two target in this offense is going to be Sam Laporta. Who's the number three? Are they still going to have Josh Reynolds running around out there? And there's a possibility that that may not be the case. He is heading into free agency. But still, the target volume between Williams and Josh Reynolds was very similar. That's not good. Also, what hurts the cause for Jameson Williams from an overall consistency standpoint is the fact that this is still going to be a run heavy team. I mean, they have the Thunder and Lightning combination. They nailed it. It's great. That combination in that backfield of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs is awesome. And I'll get to it in a minute. So my hypothesis here, there isn't enough target volume to give him that range where he's going to be consistent from week to week, which leads us to a fantasy profile that is, I think the quintessential example of it is Gabe Davis. And I will tell you this, if you're signing up for Gabe Davis and you know you're signing up for Gabe Davis, like you know, okay, this dude's going to be a dud most weeks, but he's going to give me like five outstanding fantasy weeks or four outstanding fantasy weeks. I just don't know when they're going to come. If you sign up with that mindset, if you know, all right, well, that's what I'm signing up for, then I think you probably can handle Gabe Davis or that type of player. But most fantasy managers are not signing up for that. They're simply drafting him either because A, their favorite fantasy analyst has been pumping this guy for 3 months, or B, because he's the highest in their rankings. Neither of those are really good reasons to draft a player, and that means that inevitably you're going to be disappointed. The Gabe Davis disappointment was, you know, it's a very common feature of Gabe Davis. And I think, unfortunately, Jameson Williams could be that type of player, which means that for a lot of folks, he probably is not the player they want to draft. Now, I mentioned the backfield. The good news heading into next year, I do think we're going to see even more Jahmyr Gibbs. Now, I don't know if he warrants a number one or a first round pick, that is. I was just in my first mock draft of the 2024 campaign. I know it's early, but, you know, I work in the industry, so get over it. But he went in the first round. I feel like that's a little early, though I'm not denying his ceiling. And also, if David Montgomery gets hurt, that we already know they have enough confidence in him that they're going to give him that full workload. The challenge is David Montgomery is not going anywhere. David Montgomery is a very solid goal line back, and that can put a little bit of a cap on what Gibbs can do. But they're both going to be awesome. Now, I think Montgomery does offer the better value. I'm seeing a scenario, a very real scenario, where he falls into the 7th, 8th round, like out of the dead zone. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to go in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd round. I don't know exactly where it settles out yet. Probably 2nd round, if I had to look forward. Which, there's nothing wrong with that. I just don't quite view him as an anchor RB. So Montgomery may offer the better value of the two. All right, let's move over to, and Jared Goff, by the way, is Jared Goff. Like he's like a Philip Rivers type where he can be a very safe quarterback two option. He's going to put up numbers. He has all that surrounding cast. I wouldn't want to trust him to win a playoff game for my team, but I don't mind him as a fantasy option in, you know, Superflex leagues especially. Let's move over to Baltimore. Lamar is awesome. Lamar only took another step forward. And I, in my mock draft, which is over at ftnfantasy.com, and maybe I'll talk about that on the podcast tomorrow, I did have the Ravens taking a wide receiver. There are going to be some very interesting wide receivers available at that point. And I think what you do if you're the Ravens, if you are going to go that route, is you bring in more of an X receiver. Because you have Zay who can move all around the formation. And I was so impressed with how he finished the season. Zay Flowers' arrow is pointing up. He is more than just like a water bug type. Like he's very complete. He, in some ways, he's maybe not as freakishly athletic as Odell Beckham Jr. Although he's not. He's no slouch in that department, but he has some of that element of Odell where he's not the biggest dude on the field, but he could play X if you really wanted him to. However, I think how you do this, though, is you complement that. You bring in that bigger body, and there are plenty of bigger body guys. You know, you get somebody like Thomas or somebody like that who's going to be available at the back end of the first round. That's who I had going to them, who can complement and give Lamar another target. You have Mark Andrews. He's still going to be elite. He'll be healthy and good to go, obviously, for the start of the season. You have Zay. You have Isaiah Likely when you go to 12 personnel, but you don't have anything beyond Zay at wide receiver. And I don't think Odell comes back, by the way. They way overpaid Odell for what they got out of him. So that would be a fun move, but Lamar is going to be very likely the third quarterback off the board. He very likely will go ahead of Mahomes. I don't think he goes ahead of Allen and Hurts in most drafts, though you may be surprised. Maybe he does in some. one or the other, or possibly both. I doubt he's the number one off the board. I can't see how people pass on Josh Allen as that number one guy, just given the body of work. But still, Lamar is going to be there. They can only help things out by adding to the talent. Now, we do know they plan to start Rashad Bateman still. John Harbaugh said that. But as I said, Odell heading into free agency, Aguilar heading into free agency, Devin Duvernay heading into free agency. I think they address the position in the draft. As far as the backfield is concerned, two more guys. Well, actually, out of their backfield, here are the five players on the list right now who are technically in their backfield. You have Gus Edwards, Justice Hill, Dalvin Cook, the guys from the end of the season. Then, of course, the guys on injured reserve, J.K. Dobbins, remember him, and Keaton Mitchell. Of those five, the only two who are not heading into unrestricted free agency, Keaton Mitchell and Justice Hill. There is a possibility they don't bring any of them back. I don't think they bring Dalvin Cook back. I really don't know what they do with J.K. Dobbins. Of any of them, I'd say Gus has the best chance, and he's the one who's probably least appealing for fantasy for me because, well, he's less appealing than Dobbins, I should say, because he's a bit of a plotter. But anyway, I don't know if they bring either of them back. I don't think Keaton Mitchell can handle a big workload. He's going to be a dynamic change of pace guy who could have fantasy value because of how dynamic he is, but they could very well address that position as well. This is not a great year to do so in the draft, though I think any year you can get a day two or day three guy, if you get the right guy, they could step right in and be an immediate factor. So we'll see what they end up doing there. As I said, the important thing, though, is continuity at offensive coordinator. Todd Monken is not going anywhere. Yes, of course, Mike McDonald is, but that continuity is important. So let's go right into things here. Mike McDonald hired as the Seattle head coach. Good. Fun. I'm excited. I would love to see a Legion of Boom 2.0. The bigger question I have, who's going to be your offensive coordinator? And, you know, they could go in some different directions here. The name that has gotten tossed out here recently is Tanner Engstrand, who works with the Lions. I think that would be pretty exciting. They have a decision to be made. Actually, we're 2 weeks out from Geno Smith's contract becoming guaranteed for 2024. So they actually have to make a decision on Geno Smith before we reach free agency. I don't know what the answer is ultimately there, but obviously for fantasy, the biggest factor for us is who they bring in as the OC. We don't have an answer there yet. The Commanders hiring, and this just happened yesterday, Dan Quinn, so they go defensive-minded as well. We don't have an OC yet there either. It does look like they're going to bring in Joe Witt as their defensive coordinator. Why is this one important? This one's even more important than Seattle because Washington has the number two pick overall. And I know some people that haven't caught up with this, but Sam Howell is not your answer. He isn't. So your answer is at number two. Now, I highly doubt it's Caleb Williams. So you're either talking Drake May or Jaden Daniels. And before we get carried away here, are both of those guys viable picks at number two? Hell yeah. They absolutely are. Are either of those guys the second best player in this class? No. But drafting at number two is not necessarily just about taking the best player. I think the second best player in this class is Marvin Harrison Jr. But if you're Washington, Caleb Williams goes first, who is the best player in this class, according to yours truly. Marvin Harrison Jr., you take him. Who's throwing him the football? Silence, right? It's not Sam Howell. Who's throwing him the football? If you don't have a quarterback, you have a problem. And so that's why I think they go quarterback there. So here's the challenge. You have to marry that quarterback to an offensive coordinator. If your offensive coordinator, and this is the problem, does a particularly good job with that quarterback, he's probably going to become a head coach, meaning you have to bring in another offensive coordinator. If that offensive coordinator doesn't do a good job, then, well, obviously, we don't want that either. So it's a tough situation. I didn't want to see the Commanders go in this direction. They did. We'll see who they bring in as their OC. The Falcons also going defensive-minded, Raheem Morris. It makes one wonder, couldn't they have just made him the head coach 3 years ago when he was the interim? Couldn't they have just done that and we would have skipped the Arthur Smith regime? But I'll tell you what, I am excited with their offensive coordinator. They brought in Zach Robinson. Longtime followers of me know I worked with Zach for a few years at PFF. Zach is a super sharp dude. He's real even keeled too. He kind of, in some ways, reminds me of Kevin O'Connell. And they are from the same tree there. You got another McVay disciple. I love this in particular for one player, and that's Bijan Robinson. Sean McVay, he showed it with Todd Gurley, and then he showed it this year with Kyren Williams. When he gets a guy in there who he likes, a true bell cow, he's going to use him that way. And I don't know if Zach's going to do that or not, but I think this is a good spot here. Now, of course, they need a quarterback, and the biggest problem there is they are not in Washington's position picking two overall. They're picking eight. So there's a couple directions you can go in. Like, yeah, I think you could reach for a quarterback there. That's the least likely option. I would not want to, you know, like, force the issue with Penix or Bo Nix or something like that. So you could try and trade up the board. You have to get to at least three. You have to get to New England's pick at three. I don't think they're parting with that pick. Washington's pick at two, I doubt they're parting with that pick. Chicago may be willing to part with their pick, but I think they'd probably be more willing to part with their existing quarterback. That could be an option, and let's not forget Justin Fields is from Georgia. Not that that, like, ultimately, it's not like, oh, he has to go there because he's from Georgia. That's like Caleb Williams is from D.C., so therefore he has to get drafted by the Commanders. No, it's not the case, but it would be a fun homecoming for them. And I think he put some meat in the seats, that's for sure. Tennessee Titans hired Brian Callahan. They brought in Denard Wilson as the defensive coordinator, so he had a quick rise there under Mike McDonald. And Nick Holes is their offensive coordinator. I do think Callahan ultimately is the one who calls the shots there, though. And I actually do like this hire. Callahan got to work with Joe Burrow, showed promise there. He's had those experiences working with good quarterbacks over his coaching career. And really, for me, selfishly, I just want to see Will Levis get developed. I want to see this actually pan out. We know what the ceiling looks like. That kid can be special. But he also has a lot of deficiencies that need to get cleaned up. And I think Callahan, out of my list, is one of the right men for the job. You know, on that short list of guys who I want to come in and work with the quarterback, Slowick was on that list. He's going to stay in Houston. Ben Johnson was on that list. He's going to stay in Detroit. So this is a good hiring. It's a very big departure from where they previously were. And I will say that about Washington, by the way. That's not a departure from where they previously were. They have a defensive-minded players coach. Previously, they had a defensive-minded players coach. So I don't know how you're revamping things with that hire, but, you know, there's a reason why I'm doing a podcast about this and not making those decisions. The Patriots already had anointed Jerod Mayo, DeMarcus Covington to defensive coordinator, and Alex Van Pelt, who was fired by the Browns, is their new offensive coordinator. It's not a flashy hire. In fact, it's maybe the least appealing hire out of all of the hires, but he is at least an offensive coordinator. So that's a step in the right direction from where we've been recently here for this team. And, of course, he very likely will get the opportunity to work with a quarterback who is a rookie, who may have just won the Heisman Trophy. Just saying. So, an interesting one there. The Raiders, Antonio Pierce is in. Smart move by the team. I think they learned from the past as well. Rich Bisaccia skipping on him, going with Hoodie McJr., and that just was a debacle. So you got Antonio Pierce in there. Very quick rise for him, but deserved this spot. Now, offensive coordinator, your boy, Cliff Kingsbury. Interesting. So he, obviously, after getting fired from the Arizona job, goes, spend some time in like Thailand or wherever, and then becomes the USC, he was called the senior offensive analyst. So he helped out with the offense there. What do we know about Cliff? He runs a spread offense. That's what he does. This is a fascinating hire. You're the Raiders. You're picking at 13. In theory, yeah, you could pick Bo Nix there. I don't think that's that much of a reach. Bo Nix or whoever you have as the number four quarterback. I happen to have Bo Nix there. I know it's debatable. You could pick him there. I don't think it's a huge reach. But this particular coordinator does not suggest that to me. This hire suggests that this team is going to make a play for one of two things, and both of them involve the Bears. The one thing would be the number one pick. In order to get that pick, really, in terms of the math, they'd have to give up this year's first, next year's first, the following year's first. Because those picks, future picks, are valued as the 17th overall pick in the draft. They have the 13th overall pick this year. Add that all up, it gets you north of 3,000 points, which is what you'd need to get there. That could happen. Now, there's an argument to be made that it's too much to give up. And I think that's fair. But if Caleb Williams ends up being what a lot of people think he is going to be, it's probably not even enough. But there's no guarantees there. So the other play that I think could work here, and it would especially work given the quarterback, is go out there and get Justin Fields, which wouldn't cost you as much. I think you could get Justin Fields for your first and your second, maybe a smaller piece in addition to that. Is he worth that? Well, that's probably in the eye of the beholder, but I think he is. So it really depends on what Chicago wants to do there, but I've just given you obviously two teams, Atlanta and Vegas, who certainly could make a run at Fields. That doesn't mean they're going to, but they certainly could. So that's an interesting hire there. The Chargers, of course, Jim Harbaugh is in. I don't have an offensive coordinator right now. But let's face it, I mean, this is an exciting hire. Any way you slice it, wherever you come down on Harbaugh, it's an exciting hire. Now, the coordinator will help the cause or potentially hurt the cause. Kellen Moore is going to be out. Obviously, he's with Philly now, which an interesting scoop by the Philadelphia Eagles. But who do you bring in as the coordinator? What's the impact there on Justin Herbert? They have some other work to do. It looks like they're going to have to restructure things to keep Keenan Allen in-house. Austin Eckler is almost certainly out after this past season. So it'll be interesting to see what they do free agency-wise and in the NFL draft. They do have a completely remade regime, right? Your Staley and Telesco are out. So it's Harbaugh and Joe Hortitz. And if you don't know Joe Hortitz, so he came up in the Baltimore front office, which as far as I'm concerned, where I regard things, I regard that as like the gold standard. You know, that is the front office. If you're gonna poach from a front office, that's a pretty good one to do. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach it. If they approach drafts much like Baltimore does, watch out for the Chargers. In a couple years' time here, that turns over very quickly. I mean, just look at how many teams pass on Kyle Hamilton, and this dude is an absolute rock star. All right, the Panthers, the final team on the list here. Dave Canales in, and he brought Brad Idzik over as his offensive coordinator, so they work together there in Tampa. Canales had a very fast rise from Seattle, then going to Tampa here to be the OC, working his magic with Baker Mayfield. In fact, Baker Mayfield even said, hey, I'm not even willing to discuss contract until we figure out who the OC is going to be. I mean, he has obviously, you know, pretty close ties to Canales, and Canales is out. But is he the right person to work with a young quarterback? Well, he's not a bad option, considering what he just did with Baker. So I'm thankful to say this. The book isn't fully written on Bryce Young at this point, and we're just going to have to kind of wait and see what happens with Bryce Young. They have a ton of work to do. And honestly, they did a weird move. So Scott Fitterer got fired, and they basically promoted one of his assistants, Dan Morgan, to the general manager spot. That didn't make much sense to me. I hope things change for the better here. I do like the fact that Canales was able to bring his guy in, as opposed to it felt like Frank Reich was there, but everything else was assembled around him, and it didn't necessarily riff in all cases with what he wanted to do. So that makes sense at least, but we will have to see there. A couple coordinator spots really quickly here that I think are pretty interesting. So Shane Waldron goes to the Bears. He's their OC. He did a nice job with Geno Smith. So whether it's Justin Fields or it's Caleb Williams, I don't think that's terrible. It's not the sexiest, but I think he, you know, overall did a nice job there. And the only reason why he was out in Seattle was because Pete was out. That was it. Dan Pitcher gets moved to offensive coordinator for the Bengals. Cool. You promoted internally. No issues there. Browns brought in Ken Dorsey. Other than slamming clipboards, I mean, is this an upgrade on Alex Van Pelt? I don't really think so, but what does Ken Dorsey know how to do, at least, you know, his time in Buffalo? He knows how to operate with a big-armed, mobile quarterback. You know, Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson are not exactly the same guy. But if you're trying to cater towards Deshaun Watson, okay, I understand what you're trying to do there. So Kellen Moore comes in to Philly. I think it's an interesting hire. You know, again, he's another one. He wasn't technically, you know, fired from the Chargers. He was just let go because the head coach was fired. So, you know, here he's back to the NFC East. There have been times where he looks very good as an OC. There have been a lot of times, though, where his team fizzles out, his offense fizzles out, and that's what the Eagles just did. So hopefully that's not going to be the case here. By the way, the Eagles are rumored to be interested in Belichick, and they were this year if they didn't move on from Sirianni. So even though Belichick didn't get hired this year, he could still be in the mix next year. Arthur Smith in for the Steelers. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Everybody's going to make fun of Arthur Smith. Before you just run down that road with all the jokes that we have on Arthur Smith, it might be worth taking a quick look at how productive his offenses have been. Oh, yes, he did not use your precious Kyle Pitts. Not that anybody thinks that way about Kyle Pitts. He did not use your precious Bijan Robinson. He used too much Tyler Allgeier and Jonnu Smith and whatnot. But go look at how productive his offenses were. And then also consider the quarterbacks that he has had for a bulk of his time, whether he was the OC in Tennessee or the head coach in Atlanta. Arthur Smith, for me, is a prime example of a guy who is much better suited to being a coordinator than a head coach. I don't think this is a bad move for the Steelers. I actually saw a tweet from one of my former colleagues over at PFF. The Steelers barely ran play action last year. Smith runs a lot of play action. That's going to help the cause. Smith showed this past year he's very good at using two running backs. Well, guess what? The Steelers have two running backs, two very good ones at that. I don't think this is a bad hire whatsoever. You can hate on me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, but I'm not going to just jump all over a joke just because everybody else is. Joe Brady promoted to the OC spot for the Bills. That was what Josh Allen wanted, and what Josh Allen wants, he gets, apparently. And I don't think that's a bad move either. The Saints still don't have an offensive coordinator. The Buccaneers are working through. Oh, no, wait, they did make the hire today. That's right. Liam Cohen, who actually Baker did spend time with the Rams in 2022. Cohen went to the University of Kentucky this past year, but he is from the McVay tree. So you have that. Otherwise, it's just DC spots. So there you go, a catch-up on all of the coaching stuff. We still have the one OC spot to get filled, but otherwise. And I think, honestly, the way that this looks, it's going to be one of the guys from the 49ers. Because why else wouldn't you make a hire yet if you're the Saints? It's going to be either Greasy or Kubiak. So anyway, so next week I will do a few podcasts. We'll be out there in Vegas, so we'll set you up from the betting standpoint. I should also probably do a podcast on my mock draft as well. So we got a lot of content to come for you here. In the meantime, ftnfantasy.com, go check it all out. And remember, follow along with me on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe, and on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.